Oh my god, is it recording now?
Yep.
Oh. Thanks.
Ignore it.
My name is Genevieve, I'm a compulsive reader.
Hi, Genevieve.
I got some pictures, because everybody likes pictures. So, here's the story. Let me see. This is just a picture of me and Nikki. I'm going to pass around because I found it today. Sorry about that, Nikki. So I'm going to explain my pictures and start passing them around. There's some pictures of me when I'm heavier. Picture me at my brother's wedding. Picture me at my graduation. Picture me at my heaviest. And then these pictures here are kind of significant because I went from this happy little girl at the prom to this, well, kind of happy little girl with stretch marks in a year. And I gained over 100 pounds, which I'm going to talk about. But so you can see that difference there. I'm going to pass these around and get them started. Today, I want to talk a lot about fellowship because it's fellowship that has saved me in this program. I mean, my higher power, of course, has saved me, but it's fellowship that's kept me here more than anything. So I'm going to tell my story, and then I'm going to talk about the fellowship of the program. So, I was born a baby in Appalachia. That's what Jen Baby Baker told me to say, but I was not. I was born a baby in Michigan, but I was born to an alcoholic, addict, crazy world. I have an older brother, and it was me and my older brother and my crazy pants parents, and we just, you know, we moved back here to be with our family and moved onto our family farm. And from the time I was little, it was just insanity. My parents fighting. There was physical fighting and emotional, verbal fighting. And I was scared. Like, I was scared from the time I was very little. Scared, and things were so out of control. Everything was always really out of control at my house. So, yeah, I was going to bring pictures when I was little, but I don't have very many. I was a chubby kid. I like to say lovably plump, but we'll just say I was chubby. So I was a chubby kid. I didn't have exposure to a lot of food, but my mom would bake, and when she would, I would devour it because it just, everything was so out of control. My parents drinking and really escalated, and when I got into like fourth grade, they got sober for a while, and so that's the first time I was exposed to 12-step groups, and they went to A for a while, and it was really good, and my life was really good for a while, and then my grandmother died when I was 11. She died in our backyard, my grandparents' backyard on our family farm, and it was really traumatic for the entire family, and our entire family just fell apart, and people didn't want to talk to each other, and my parents started using again. A couple years passed, my dad got physically abusive with my mom. I started powerlifting in high school, and I was a smart kid. I was always a really smart kid, and that's the only thing I ever really got validated for was that I was smart, and I was charming, and I had rosy cheeks. Like, my grandma's friends loved that I had rosy cheeks, so they were always pinching my cheeks. So anyway, I would get validated that I was smart, and so, but I was always chubby. So my brother started powerlifting with his friends, and when I was like 12, they're like, come powerlift with us. And I was like, anything to get rid of my fat. So I started powerlifting, and I really excelled at powerlifting. So in high school, it was crazy at home, but I busied myself powerlifting and doing all sorts of activities, you know, to fill me up, because I wasn't full. I was really empty. And with powerlifting with my food, it was really restrictive because I would lift and run and exercise 6 days a week, and I would binge my ass off, like, on Sunday. I would be eating, like, a can of tuna on Monday, and, like, Saturday night, I would be hitting 3 drive-thrus. So, but I kept my weight low. You know, I had to make weight for my meats, and so I kept it low. Does the microphone hear that when I hit my pants? I was just thinking about that. I hope not, because that'd be awkward. Anyway, so I kept my weight low during high school. And then when I was 16, I started being assaulted by my powerlifting coach. Now, it's a funny thing, because my powerlifting coach was like my father. And at home at that time, my My parents were fighting physically, and I was having to step between my father and my mother so that my dad wouldn't physically abuse my mom. It was really messed up. And then this man that I looked to like my father started abusing me. And then my brother graduated, and my dad went to jail for abusing my mother, and then my mother got diagnosed with bipolar, and I came out about this coach abusing me, and my world fell apart. And I got diagnosed with mental illness, and it seemed as if one day here was this fully functioning high school girl with college offers and boyfriends, and my life was fantastic, which it wasn't, but it seemed that way. And then, like, the next day, I was binging and sleeping and self-harming and this nightmare, and it was crazy. So like I said, I went from that picture at prom to 100 pounds and a body full of stretch marks a year later. I virtually like slept away an entire year. I don't really know what happened very much in that year. I slept and I ate a lot of macaroni and cheese and donuts. And like my parents, my mom, she didn't know what to do with me. So I'd be like, I'm in distress. And she'd be like, let's go get some donuts. So I gained a lot of weight. And I kept gaining weight. Then a period came where I wasn't as depressed. And I was like, I had some control. You know, I had control. I had it all under control. So then started the alcoholic boyfriend phase. There was a couple of those. My husband's here, so he's going to enjoy this part of the speech. So the alcoholic boyfriend phase, because this is what would happen. I binged and I ate and I would gain a lot of weight, but then like the spring would come and I would get happier and healthier and I would get control over my food and I'd shed like 30 pounds, so I'd be a new woman, you know? Like, that's the way it would, and I would like go down a pant size, so I was hot to trot and on the scene. So I hooked up with my first, let's call him my second alcoholic boyfriend. Anyway, so I, at the time, I had gotten my GED, and I was working at this job at this deli, and I love working with people, and I love working with food, of course. Like, I love working with food. Nothing makes me happier. So I'm working at this deli, and things are going good, and I meet this boyfriend, and I had friends, and I was overweight, but, like, I was in control, and it was good. So I move in with this alcoholic boyfriend, and it's a nightmare, and he's drinking, and I lose my job, and I start binging like crazy, and I'm waking up in the middle of the night, and I'm eating, and he's got these two little girls that live with us, and I'm, like, 19, and they're, like, 6 and 4, and it's a nightmare, right? Just a really not good situation. So, by the only thing I can say is it was the intervention of God that got me out of that situation, because some bad stuff would have happened. So God gets me out of there a year later, and I've probably gained another 50 pounds. And because this is what would happen. He would buy alcohol and buy me cookies at the same time. So that was a good combination. So alcohol, cookies, and a year later, I have lost weight, and I'm hot to trot again. So who comes into my life but another alcoholic boyfriend? So this regrettably lasts for 4 years, and about a month into it, it gets physical, and I'm like, okay, what do you do? Like, and in my head, I know this is what I should do, but we don't, like, I think as addicts, like, there's so many times where we know our truth, but we turn in the other direction because we're scared, because we don't have each other, because we don't have God, and because we're scared. So it gets physical, and I look at him, and I say, I can solve this, and then we move in together. So, right. I know. I have another program of recovery called Al-Anon. So, so we move in together, and it keeps getting more physical, and but it's under control, you know, it's under control. And but my eating is escalating, and I'm self-harming again, and the physical stuff between us is escalating, and but I'm going to school, and but it's like it's getting out of control. And so one day I just dropped out of life. Like, I just dropped out of school, and I quit taking my medicine, and I just went home and crawled into bed and dropped out of life. I stopped answering my phone for work, and I just, you know, I don't know. Do we make conscious decisions for stuff like that to happen? I don't think so. I think it just comes on us, and we just, it just happened. So then I like to play this game where I thought it was my bottom, but I don't, I think it was a bottom, but I don't think it was like the bottom in my recovery. So I start eating, you know, I'm eating this whole time and I'm gaining weight this whole time, but now I'm really eating because I got nothing to do. I've got no job. I've got no school. All I have is my TV, my computer, and my bed. And I leave my house once every couple days to go to Hy-Vee, which is right down the street. So like, that's my entire life right there. So I get up and I'm over 325 pounds. And I'm miserable. Like, I can't wear anything but sweatpants at this point. I can't get in and out of my car. I have chafing under my breasts, under my belly. I'm not bathing. That's like the first thing to go for me. My self-care is the first thing to go when I'm in my addiction. Women, I like to shave my legs. I'm not shaving my legs. My heels are funky. I'm a funky woman, you know? It's, right. And so then my boyfriend's family, who's still abusing me, is like, let's go on this Caribbean vacation. It'll be terrific. Right. But can I tell you that I had another great idea of how we were going to solve this, me and my boyfriend, this abuse and compulsive overeating problem? Because I'm going to backtrack here. Okay, so we had this idea. I had this idea how we were going to solve this abuse, compulsive overeating. My parents are in this, like, crazy addiction depth. My life is chaotic. So this is how I'm going to solve it. We're going to get married and have a baby. Right. Right. So we're going to go on this Caribbean vacation as a family. Okay. So I'm 325 pounds trying to climb this freaking waterfall in Jamaica. Picture those of you who have been overweight and who know overweight, just picture this big woman trying to climb this water. Oh my gosh. And I have no concept of how big I am. And that's where that picture of me, the other picture where my face is red and I'm like sweating, and it's freaking hot in Jamaica, and my swimsuit doesn't fit, and oh my. So it was the worst vacation of my life. And my boyfriend's drinking on the vacation, and his mom's in the room with us, and I know, like, that's enough. In your sobriety, it's enough to have your mom in the room with you, much less. So I'm, like, sneaking out to go to the buffet, because they have a 24-hour buffet on a cruise. Right. So I'm eating on the, okay. So then I get home from the vacation, and a couple months later, my dad dies. He dies of a drug overdose. My parents had gone to this crazy, like, myriad of drug addiction, and it was so sick, and it was so crazy, and I had been staying with them for a couple months before they died, and I really got to see it firsthand. And so my dad's dying taught me two things. One, that I didn't have to take the shit from my boyfriend. I'm sorry. And two, that I did not want to live like that, like my parents, and that I didn't want to die like that, because they were so just absorbed in addiction. And I didn't know that I was a food addict. I just knew that my life was really messed up. So my dad dies, and I stayed with my mom for a while, and then I found out that I was pre-diabetic. And I went to the doctor, and he gave me some medication, and I was really like, oh my gosh, I'm pre-diabetic. So I got a job, and I took this medication, and I gave up some foods, and I started losing a little bit of weight. So I was probably down to about 290, and my boyfriend, he hit me in like October of that year, And I had this realization, like, it was the clearest thing. I pulled up in front of my home, and I heard God's voice. And God was like, you do not have to be the girl that takes the crap anymore. And it was the first time that I believed that. Like, the first time in my entire life. So I made a plan. I made a plan about how I was going to get him out of the house. Because if you know anything about abusive relationships, it's not easy. It's not easy to get rid of somebody that's abusing you. It's not easy to walk away from that. It's not easy. So, you know, don't ever judge somebody and say that it's an easy thing to get out of, or you don't understand, because it's not an easy thing. So anyway, I make a plan, because you gotta have a plan or you can't act. So I got this plan. And then I started researching OA a little bit. Because I knew about 12-step groups, and I knew the 12-step groups worked because they kept my parents sober for a while. So then I decided that I was going to go to OA in January. A resolutionist? I don't know. Anyway, so I went to OA in January, and I didn't go for weight loss. Like, I wasn't obsessing about my weight at the time. I just knew between the ears I had a lot of stuff going on. So I get there, and I go to my first Monday meeting, and I'm like, I'm Genevieve, I like donuts. So, because I didn't understand. I didn't understand, and I was so raw, and I couldn't let you in. So then I went to my first Tuesday meeting, and this is in February. It's like the end of January, and I come to my first Tuesday meeting right here in this room, and I'm scared, and they hand me this piece of paper, and I don't know that you pass the piece of paper if you don't want to read it. Like, they don't tell you that. They don't tell you keep passing it. So I took it, and it was How It Works. That's freaking long. Right. And my mouth is dry, and I'm trying to read this, and I'm like, oh my God, what is... So anyway, the meeting gets over, and this woman is like, let's go out and eat. And I'm like, what? What? But I'm desperate, and I'm like, okay, so we go eat. And I went home that night, and I was like, it's going to be okay, because I'm going to have friends. And this woman wasn't like, I want to be your agent, but I was like, okay, like, it's going to be okay. And then, like, 2 days later, my plan went into effect, and I got the boyfriend out of there, and I was scared, and I didn't have enough money to pay my bills. I was working at the bagel shop. But some people are laughing because they remember the bagel shop times. Well, I'm saying that for the recording, because if you hear it, you're not going to know about the bagel shop, but it's delicious. So I'm working at this bagel shop, but I know that I have to do this. Like, I know that this is my truth, so I get rid of the boyfriend. And then the next week I come back to the Tuesday meeting, and this woman takes my number. And then the next day she calls me, and I get home from work, and there's this like singing message from this crazy woman on my voicemail, and I'm like, what is going on? And then I was like, it's going to be okay. And then, so that's how I came into program. So I want to talk a little bit about how the fellowship has brought me and kept me into program. So this woman that leaves me this wild singing message on my voicemail the day after, like, my third meeting, ends up becoming this wondrous, terrific friend. And her partner bring me into their home. And I am this scared, fractured little girl, because all I know is shame and abuse and sadness. Like, that's all I had ever known my entire life. And people in program... Like, I don't know, they're like, why don't you stay the night at our house? And then they covered me up with a blanket, you know? Like, nobody, right, like, my parents didn't do that, you know? So fellowship, I'm getting lost here. Anyway, so I come into program, and this fellowship keeps me coming back, because I don't have friends, I don't have family, my mom is all I have, and my brother's in Texas, and these people are like, come to our house and play board games, and I'm like, who plays board games? But I go, and like, everything somebody asks me to do for the next year, I do it, and I'm doing all this fun, crazy stuff, and I am so happy. and I'm starting to work steps, and I get abstinent, and getting abstinent is hard, you know, like, especially your first month is really, it's a hard thing to do. And I got this sponsor, I'm going to tell you my sponsor story. So I wasn't going to get the sponsor, and I was really scared because I did not like to talk to people. So she wheels herself over to me, and she tells me how she's going to be my sponsor. And I'm going to call her tomorrow. So, which was really fortunate because I would have taken my sweet time finding one. But I think sometimes when we're new, we have to be, sometimes when we're old, sometimes we just have to be led. You know, we have to be led because we're powerless, you know.